Why do we pray? All of us know the desperate, earnest prayers we've uttered throughout our lives, even before we became Christians. We always knew God was our last hope, and His ability to intervene in our difficulties and tragedies drove us to whisper or shout our appeals to God. But now that we're people of faith, it's important to understand why we pray, and that Scripture teaches us many specific reasons that extend far beyond those desperate appeals for help. Let's begin with a look at the prayer Jesus taught His disciples. I'm sure it's going to give us wise goals in conversing with our Heavenly Father. He opens by advising us how to pray or how not to pray, like the hypocrites who make lots of noise to show their apparent holiness. Jesus recommends we pray in secret, with a sincere heart and with specific requests. We further learn in Scripture that we can stand, kneel, raise our hands, or bow our heads when we pray. Of course, it's great to know how to pray, but it's equally important to understand why we pray. As Jesus goes on to explain, prayer, Jesus said, should open with adoration. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Adoration is an expression of worship and praise to God, acknowledging Him as God Almighty. And here Jesus declares His Father is holy, deserving respect and praise. Thus, Jesus reminds us that giving worship should be one of the first reasons why we pray and should certainly be the way that we open our prayer time to our Father in heaven. Why worship? Because it causes us to stop and reflect that our Father in heaven is absolutely wonderful. David understood this, and he opened numerous psalms with praise. In Psalm 145, for instance, David writes, "I will exalt you, my God, and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness." This prayer of devotion, stating simply, "I love you, Lord," is illustrated in Psalm 18 when David says just that, "I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and He saved me from my enemies." The next part of the prayer, Jesus states, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Submission is the attitude expressed in this verse, for we are submitting ourselves to God's purposes and plans in our lives and not our own. Further, we're stating that we desire what God wants more than what we ourselves want. The next verse expresses supplication. "Give us this day our daily bread." Here we are pleading humbly for help with our needs. We easily recognize this prayer as it cannot cover not only our immediate physical needs, food, finances, health, jobs, but also encompass our spiritual needs. For Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty. Again, whoever believes in me will never be hungry again." Why else do we pray? To confess our faults and failures, as we see in the verse, "Forgive our debts." Confession, according to one source, states, "We know we haven't lived right according to God's precepts, and this behavior or attitude has separated us from God." The soul needs confession to cleanse itself and allowing us to repair our relationship with Christ, says one source. Confession then opens the pathway to God's grace and mercy and restores us into right fellowship with Him again. It's easy to go about the day and forget our actions may displease God and create a disturbance between us and Him. Confession then restores that relationship, for it acknowledges where we failed Him and others and enables us to move forward with Him again. As the Apostle John writes, "If we claim we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." Now that we've restored our relationship with God through confession, we are to restore our relationship with others. As we've been forgiven, we are also to forgive our debtors, those that have sinned against us. In his lesson on anger, Jesus tells his listeners, if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Sadly, there are times that restoration doesn't seem possible, and here Jesus says, if you forgive other people when they are against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Just as God is quick and immediate to forgive, we also must be. This may be the thorniest area of prayer and why we are to pray restoration prayers. It shouldn't matter the extent or nature or type of offense. All we can do is forgive them, as Jesus states in his Sermon on the Mount. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of things against you, evil things, because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. Many broken relationships are a result of the enemy trying to destroy the unity and harmony that Christ died for. And that's why we pray for deliverance, as shown in the verse, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, I want you to be wise in doing right and stay innocent in any wrong. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And may the God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The fact is we have an enemy of our soul who is working to unravel all the spiritual blessings that God is bringing to our lives. But we have to be convinced, like Paul, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, not even the powers of hell. Yet we still need to be praying for rescue from the enemy's greedy hands. Another important reason why we pray is salvation. Whereas confession restores our relationship with God on a daily basis after we've come to faith in Christ, salvation is our initial step out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. It is the realization that we've been living in rebellion against God, living for ourselves and ignoring the goodness of God. When we come to discover that Christ is real and his death on the cross paved the way back to our relationship with the Father, then we pray as Simon Peter did when he fell on his knees before Jesus, declared his sin, and Jesus restored him. Paul writes it simply to the Romans. If you declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Oh, what a glorious day. There are other important reasons why we should pray, and one is inspiration, or understanding from God what we should do, where we should go, how we should get there. Joshua prayed in this manner before he led the people across the Jordan River. He needed to know how to lead this great cohort of people and how to proceed in taking the promised land. That's why he prayed for inspiration before entering the city of Jericho. Gideon did the same when he faced his battles. Intercession is another important reason to pray. In this prayer, we're seeking for God to intervene on behalf of a country or another person. Abraham interceded for his nephew Lot and for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Daniel interceded for his people once he heard that Jerusalem would lie in desolation. The prophet Daniel also teaches us about the prayer of revelation. God gave Daniel many startling visions, which caused him great terror. Thus, God sent his angel Gabriel to reveal the meaning of these visions. The moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I'm here to tell you what it was, for you were very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you understand the meaning of your vision, we read in Daniel 9. God does not do things in secret or alone, and this is why we pray, to participate with him in the work he's doing in us and in the world. Let us rejoice that he cares so much for us that he invites us into these divine conversations. Amen.